You're listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Courtney Coulson. This is Minute 4. This minute opens with a lone engineer watching his ship depart, and ends with him sacrificing himself. I feel like this podcast has kind of been filler up until now. There's only so much I can say over landscape shots. Now, shit gets real. Let us continue to read from the early script to see how it compares. One of the cloaked engineers opens a featureless black box. Inside lies a cake of dark, sticky material. The naked one lifts the dark cake with ceremonial slowness. It hums and buzzes, foams into iridescent spheres. He raises the seething cake to his mouth, like the sacrament. Black scarabs boil out of the dark material, swarm over his lips, glittering insects that chitter and bite. Under the swarm, his lips melt away, a horrific vision of teeth, black blood, dissolving bone. They are devouring him. Flash on, a fevered glimpse of the microscopic. Cells rupture and bleed, protein chains unfold, a DNA spiral unravels. The scarabs fill their bellies with genetic material. The engineer spreads his arms, stands cruciform, nearly headless. The scarabs swarm his shoulders, his chest. When they reach his hips, they collapse sideways, toppling majestically like a felled tree, engulfed. The two cloaked engineers watch impassively. Behind them, a vast black ship hangs in the sky. As if blown by a great gust of wind, the scarabs disperse in their millions in all directions, living DNA on the wing. Where the sacrificial victim fell, nothing remains. Exterior, forest, day. A pristine wilderness, the volcanic mountain in the distance. A primitive woman stands on a height, staring in amazement. Far off, a great dark ship hovers over the plain. A black scarab lands on the back of her neck, bites deep, injecting its cargo of DNA into her blood. Flash on. A microscopic invasion. Cells pierced and infused. DNA strands twining and mating. Close up on the woman. Pupils dilating with shock. Breath hissing into her lungs. She slaps the back of her neck. Looks at her hand. The scarab lies in her palm. As she watches, it crumbles to the dust and blows away. Fade to black. As we can see, there were originally going to be a number of engineers. At one point, I believe they were even going to have a conversation. But in the film, there is only one, and there is no dialogue. I believe this was the right decision. They should be mysterious. See too much and you ruin that illusion. The engineers seem to be a very traditional culture. While they have mastered faster-than-light travel seemingly millennia ago, they are quite ritualized, and their clothing consists of simple robes and loincloths. There's no sense of individuality, at least not based on the few we have seen. If we are only going by what we see in Prometheus, a case could be made that we are only seeing the equivalent of monks and soldiers. But the entire planet in Covenant, if those aliens were indeed the same race, all dress the same too. I find this contrast interesting, like ancient Egyptians with futuristic technology. That sounds like a great idea for a movie or maybe a TV series. We tend to think of society evolving and developing in a certain order. But even on Earth, different cultures have different priorities. The Aztecs, for instance, invented the wheel, but never used them because the terrain just wasn't suitable. It was easier to transport goods by boat. The engineers could likely construct incredible clothing and jewelry, but they seem like a utilitarian society. They have no need for decoration. From this, we can gather that the society is perhaps without a class system. There are no kings or commoners, everyone is the same. This could also give us some hints about their concept of beauty. As you may know, many animals, not just humans, use presentation to attract a mate. The engineers seemingly do not care for such things. This may imply they do not reproduce the way we do, or they communicate status, individuality, and beauty in ways that are not visible, or at least not visible to us. So the engineer kneels down, opens up the container of mutagen, and we see something that is edible. Now, it's not something a lot of people think about when they watch a film, but any time an actor has to consume any kind of food, there are often a lot of logistics involved. For example, on a show like Hannibal, the food played a pivotal role. Sometimes the food had to look like a work of art, sometimes the food had to look like real human parts, and sometimes it had to be both. On top of that, the food had to be light enough for the actors to easily eat, take after take. Sometimes this job is given to the chefs who cater to the cast and crew. Other times this is a separate person or department. There is a featurette on the Prometheus Blu-ray which shows the process that went into creating the mutagen. Unlike the mutagen we see in the rest of the film, which is just black liquid, there is quite a texture and depth going on in that bowl the engineer drinks out of. This may imply that it is somehow different, though we've never seen anyone ingest such a quantity of mutagen, so it's hard to say, but we certainly know how powerful one drop of the stuff is. It isn't out of the question that this is the same mutagen. This is further evidence of Ridley's eye for detail. I think a lesser director would have just put some black liquid in a cup and be done with it. But there were quite a number of experiments done to create the mutagen. How they accomplished this was a piece of honeycomb with little warbles of gelatin all covered in dark blue food colouring. The resulted look is quite effective. So now you know how to make the same for your Prometheus party. I remember hearing some people saying mutagen acts differently in Covenant, but in this sequence we see the mutagen floating around like dust motes too. My interpretation is that it remains in a liquid state until it finds a host. The planet in Covenant would be covered in these motes of mutagen parasites because, well, obviously David bombed the entire planet with the stuff. The makeup on the engineers is truly incredible. Again, it's something that's easy to take for granted in a world where CGI can achieve anything. But this makeup is flawless. That actor is nearly covered from head to toe in prosthetics, and it's seamless. Pay close attention to areas like his knees, elbows, and under his arms. These are areas where the silicone can bend in unnatural ways, but the engineer looks as if he were born that way. It's incredible. My one criticism in this minute would be when the engineer disrobes, they cut away too quickly. I think they should have lingered on this shot. There should be a moment for the audience to think, my god, what is that thing? If they just held that shot for a second longer, it would have been a much more powerful reveal. Because it's a very human-looking figure, but not quite. And I don't think that sinks in until you get a better look at him. Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson, signing off. You can find me on TraviandDesigns.com, TraviandDesigns.com, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.